The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
All right. Welcome to a Monday. Yes, it's another bonus Monday show. Hi. Welcome to it. Someone in the YouTube chat room, Gary Ballard, just said, can you get that face off my phone, please? Because the title graphic for today's show is a picture of Donald J. Trump. Why, you ask? Why would I do that to you? Well, I hinted at this on Friday, and the fact is that Trump is my guest today. I kid you not. I came across this phone number. You know, I spent many, many years as a radio producer. I was in New York. I produced a show called Jim Kerr and the Morning Crew on a big station, WPLJ, from 1985 to 87 or thereabouts. And I still have my old phone book, and I had all kinds of phone numbers in there. And then I spent years in Los Angeles. I produced the Mark and Brian show. And again, I have all these phone numbers, and you never know, you know, who keeps their phone numbers for all these years. But anyway, I started calling this number that I had in my book that said Donald Trump. And sure enough, he answered the phone. So we had a little conversation. I think this is his old Android that he just refused to get rid of. And he still obviously uses. So anyway, I asked him. I called him. I said, I, you know, told him that I would love to have him on the show. And well, he says he'll join me this afternoon at 3:30. And sure enough, if you go to like the White House website, he's got nothing on his public schedule today. Just not that that's anything different, but you know, so we have that going for us. We'll see what happens. Come the bottom of the hour, it's now 3:03 Eastern. At 3:30, we'll try to give him a call. And we'll see how it goes. I solicited some questions from you guys on Twitter and Facebook today. So I have those. And certainly I have my questions that I want to ask him. So we'll just play it by ear. You know how we roll here. We roll with the punches. So we'll see how it goes. By the way, I mentioned that last week that I took some of my government hush money and you know, this show has been plagued by audio problems, and especially since I brought in this other computer, trying to be able to do more with it. And but the board that I had, which was this, hold on one second, I'll show you. For those of you watching on YouTube, this is the old board. It is a lovely Behringer. 1204 USB, Zenix 1204 USB, which is now for sale. I will be listing this on the eBay machine. Works fine, just not for my purposes. So I've got this. I think I've got a Mackie mixer or two. I'm going to start clearing things out because I think we're going to have to move soon. More on that another day. Anyway, so I got the mixer, hooked it up Saturday morning, didn't take very long, and it does some amazing things. And so far, I think, hopefully, you noticed a change, a difference in the sound, because I think it's sounding pretty good. And we'll have fewer technical problems. We certainly won't have those electronic noises that blast your eardrums, hopefully. Anyway, but there is a problem with it. There's always a problem with it. So the first pot, the first fader for the sound, the little fader plastic thing is missing. So actually, they're replacing the whole unit. So but it's working. So that's a good thing. So we got that going for us too. And it's a Monday. We love Mondays, don't we? And we just passed the yesterday or the day before, or May 1st or August 30th, April 30th, the highest tally. I hate talking about it like this because these are lives. These are people who have died. The highest number of deaths reported happened, you know, just in recent days as a number of states are starting to open for business yet again, to open their economies again. Look, I get it. I'm hurting financially, too. We all are. But I think our lives are more important than money at this moment. Last night, I went out to walk Jackson, and the idiot across the street was having a party. And I call him the idiot because he is. You know, we live in proximity. We're next door to Parkland. I'm in Coral Springs. That's our sister city. And the shooting, the Parkland Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School massacre, happened on Valentine's Day a couple of years ago. Well, when it came time a few months later for 4th of July, my neighborhood, the city of Coral Springs and Parkland, put out an email asking people to be cognizant of the fact that many of their neighbors are still suffering traumatic effects of that shooting. And they asked you, please don't set off private fireworks on the 4th of July. We do have a few in the city, the big, you know, citywide fireworks displays. We'll do it. But please, for the sake of the people around you, please refrain from doing a fireworks display. This moron across the street had a big party and set off fireworks. There are people who live in my community who are teachers at that school who, you know, have PTSD from that. They're assholes. So I don't know what to do. I mean, part of me wants to write a letter, and you can't put it in their mailbox because that's a federal crime, but, you know, shove it under their door, under the front door, and tell them what assholes they are. Anyway, just a thought. This is the kind of stuff we're all going through. My daughter turned 21 yesterday. In quarantine, we made a wonderful vegetarian meal. We got the chocolate dipping things for strawberries, and we had a wonderful bottle of champagne. So my little baby is now an adult. Yeah, you know, life goes on, such as it is in quarantine. And the fallout continues from Friday's show, where I guess, made the mortal mistake of saying, listen to women, of saying the things that the Democrats said a few years ago when Brett Kavanaugh was nominated to be a Supreme Court justice, and a woman, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, came forward to say that in high school, all those years ago, he sexually assaulted her. And Democrats stood up and said, damn it, you need to listen to the women. You need to hear them out. You need to do an investigation. You need to take these allegations seriously. But what I discovered was that, I guess it's okay if you're a Democrat to turn the tables, because all of these apologists are coming forward and saying, I know Joe Biden. That's not him. He didn't do that. And bad-mouthing the woman, who in this case, her name is Tara Reid. So, look, am I sticking up for Tara Reid? No, I don't know her. I heard the interview she did with Katie Halper. I heard a few other things. I'm not passing judgment on her, plus or positive or negative. I just think it's dangerous when you say, she's not a great character. Really? Do you know her? Do you know anything about her? Because I don't. I mean, I've heard the smears, but the smears, people come out of the woodworks to smear. I'm not defending her. I agree that there are holes in her story, that it has changed over the years. But then again, I'm not a psychologist, and I don't know what goes on in the mind of a woman who has suffered some kind of harassment at the hands of a former boss and someone who she obviously respected. I do know that she told people contemporaneously or almost contemporaneously back in 93, 94, 95. Some people she said she told have no recollection, but others say, oh yeah, She told me. She told me something happened, or she told. And so anyway, I've been attacked mercilessly. As you know, I've had a couple of people pull their monthly contributions to my show, and I got to thank a couple of you who stepped up to fill in the holes. I know Richard in Maryland is one. Thank you, Richard. I haven't sent you an email yet to thank you, but I keep meaning to. And then, let's see, there was somebody else who I really want to thank. Let me see if I can find my email to her. And it was Debbie, listener Debbie, who stepped up to replace the lost revenue from somebody else who, in their righteous indignation, how dare you? How dare I what? Say that the Democrats need to be consistent? Say that if they say women deserve to be heard, that that applies to all women, regardless of who they're accusing? I'm not saying believe her out of hand. I'm not. I am saying Joe Biden's candidacy has a few problems. And it's not too late for him to do the right thing, which I believe is stepping aside. It's still 6 months till Election Day, and it's still a few months before the nominating convention. We do not have a nominee yet. We're not there yet. But anyway, that's why I think there should be an investigation. And we heard Biden Friday morning on with Meek. And, you know, some things about his answers bugged me. So, and some, okay, you are too in the YouTube chat room is saying, Nicole, remember, you didn't really believe E. Jean Carroll. You said she was flaky. She is flaky. Doesn't mean I don't believe her. Actually, I do believe her. I think her story is more credible, and she's a very credible character. Doesn't mean she's not flaky. I'm flaky too. But I hope if I say something, for the most part, you'll believe me. There are times we're joking. But it's up to you to figure out when that is. All right. Speaking of joking, we'll get back to this in a moment. But I realize I didn't, you know, we didn't start the show with a funny on Friday because we jumped right into it and the phone calls were coming in. So I took your calls to talk about the Biden Tara Reid situation. And we're not done yet. But I do want to make sure we get at least a couple of laughs in because it's going to be kind of a serious show. With the news coming up, and then, of course, Donald Trump. So let me start with something funny. And this is a guy from Scotland. And listen carefully, because he's got a thick Scottish brogue. But it's another, look, people all over the world are shut in. I hope you'll check out our quarantine calling series. They're all posted on the Nicole Sandler Show page on Facebook. You know, we're all in this all over the world. It's our one common shared experience dealing with COVID-19 by, for the most part, staying home and being bored. And some people are commemorating this experience in song, like this guy from Scotland. Take it away, whoever you are.
Save lives. That's what lots of people say. You're stuck indoors in April, locked down in May. But I know I can't go and change this tune. If I want to get back outside in June. Stay safe, save lives. And as stupid as it may seem, some wee Egypts get their kicks, not they in the quarantine. So don't you bother heading uptown. Because we can't go there no more, because it's all been closed down. Take it away, lads. Can't go to the pub for the pictures, the park for a picnic, or play pitch and putt too. Can't see the boys for a beddy, so now we stay in. And get pished on Zoom. Each time I find some rag wandering about on the loose, I pick myself up and shout, get back in the hoose.
In the hoose.
Save lives.
That's
I tell you, you can't deny it. Next time I see a bottle of sanitizing hand gel, man, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
And don't even think about jumping in your car. And driving to Anstruther's award-winning fish and chip bar. Unless you're local, of course, that's different. Don't go to the Fitbo, the Boozer, the Bingo, the Chippy. We can't do a damn thing. I've been stuck in the hoose, binge-watching episodes of Tiger King. Each time I find some Raj taking too much bog roll off the rack, I pick myself up and shout, "Hey, ball bag, put it back! Save lives! And you can't deny it! Just stay 2 metres away from folk! It's no hard! Go on, try it! And if we want to have a wee party come this here July, stay in! Only go out for essential food, health and work reasons, your daily exercise, but don't meet people from the households, and wash your hands! Protect the NHS.
Protect the NHS.
Save lives. Come on, everyone. Save lives.
Save lives. Oh. Save lives. How great was that, right? And again, I don't even know who it was. Protect the NHS, but that's the message in there. Save lives. I will post that video on my blog today at NicoleSandler.com, where today's show is posted. It'll be NicoleSandler.com/5-4-20. I'll put the whole video there. Pretty brilliant, huh? Yeah, good stuff. All right. What to do? I guess we can get to the news. And I'm going to have to do it live because, well, you know, we simulcast on YouTube and now on Facebook Live. But they're very, very strict when it comes to a copyright violation. It used to be, seriously, that I could get away with playing up to 30 seconds of a song without being, you know, violated. And now I can't even do it. I've gotten videos blocked because I literally aired like 5 seconds of a song. So, well, we're going to try it. The produced version of What's News has a lengthy song included, not a whole song, but, you know, more than 30 seconds of a song because, well, there was an event that happened 50 years ago today that I certainly had to commemorate in What's News. So we'll do it live. We'll do a shortened clip. We'll get to it. But, you know, let's get to the news, shall we?
I read the news today. Oh,
boy. Well, Donald Trump, yes, who will be joining us in about, I guess, 12 minutes or so, left the White House this week. And you know he was getting a little antsy, right? Now, Mar-a-Lago and the other golf clubs that he owns are closed. So he went to Camp David, ostensibly for a working weekend. I guess if you call ranting on Twitter working. CNN's Brian Stelter had a great write-up of Trump's activities this weekend. He wrote, during the visit to Camp David, he tweeted at least 5 promos for One America News, 3 promos for Fox News, and 2 retweets of an account called @sexcounseling. He viciously attacked MSNBC's Nicole Wallace. He retweeted crazed conspiracy theories about the Russian probe. He vigorously agreed with a Twitter user who said he has done more for blacks than all the other presidents combined. That user said he was in Kenya, in case you were wondering. Trump also shared comments from hardcore supporters who claimed to be in India. He insulted Nancy Pelosi and exaggerated his standing in the polls and retweeted someone who said, quote, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Okay. He shared a video of Mike Tyson and said, keep punching, Mike. He promoted one of his golf resorts. And he claimed that the country's intelligence agencies, quote, did not bring up the coronavirus subject matter until late January, which would be a dereliction of their duty if it was true, but it's not. CNN and other news outlets have reported that Trump's daily intelligence briefing included information about the coronavirus outbreak in China and its potential spread to the United States as early as January 3rd. But what we've learned is Trump ignored those because he thought it was just, it was the deep state. It wasn't real. It was the deep state. Ugh. Now, it should be mentioned that yesterday was World Press Freedom Day. Donald Trump chose to mark the occasion with an assortment of angry tweets about fake news and repeating his enemy of the people smear. Unbelievable. And it, you know, Trump also held a virtual town hall meeting on Trump TV, Fox, you know, last night from the site of the Lincoln Memorial, where he actually said,
I am greeted with a hostile press, the likes of which no president has ever seen.
What?
The closest would be that gentleman right up there. They always said Lincoln. Nobody got treated worse than Lincoln. I believe I am treated worse.
Hey, Trump, Lincoln was assassinated. Just saying. Yeah, you're treated worse. Trump also revised his estimates of how many Americans will die from COVID, upping the number from the 50 to 60,000 he offered up, you know, recently, to 80 to 100,000, and claimed again that a vaccine could be available as soon as the end of the year. Dr. Fauci said, not so fast. Hey, today is an historic day at the United States Supreme Court. For the first time ever, the court is allowing the media to provide audio coverage of its oral arguments as they're happening. So far, it's only 10 cases that are going to be heard over telephone this month, but it is live coverage. Although cameras are still forbidden, the audio of the Supreme Court arguments has been recorded and made available usually 24 hours to a week later. Now, for the first time, we can hear them live on C-SPAN. Mark the date, May 12th, in your calendar, because that should be especially interesting. That's the day the Supreme Court will hear arguments about Trump's taxes. That's something I want to ask him about today. By the way, the Senate reconvenes today amid a deepening national debate over how to confront the deadly pandemic and its economic devastation. The House, who was going to return today, is now scheduled to get back next Monday, postponing their return because of health risks. Hey, did you hear about this? Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has banned assault-style weapons just 2 weeks after a gunman killed 22 people in the country's deadliest mass shooting in modern history. So the ban covers about 1,500 types of military-grade weapons, as well as mortars and rocket launchers, but not handguns. Trudeau said the measures are effective immediately, but disposal of the weapons will be subject to a two-year amnesty period. While it may seem extreme by American standards, not mine, but some Canadian outlets have criticized the move as not extreme enough. Trudeau has been promising to beef up gun control since being elected in 2015. Now, as for that musical clip, today marks the 50th anniversary of the Kent State Massacre. It was May 4th, 1970. The Ohio National Guard was set loose on Kent State University in Kent, Ohio, during a mass protest against the U.S. bombing of neutral Cambodia. 28 National Guard soldiers fired approximately 67 rounds over a period of about 13 seconds. 13 seconds, killing four students and wounding nine others, one of whom suffered permanent paralysis. 50 years ago today. Unbelievable. And, you know, although Kent State hasn't happened again, I think we are probably at the worst period in our American collective psyche right now than we were, you know, 50 years ago. All right, a couple of minutes. We're going to call this number that I have for Donald Trump and hope he answers. But first, I want to share with you to go back. Sorry, I'm watching some of the comments in in the chat room, you know, a lot of you still don't, you don't believe Tara Reid. I guess that's your prerogative. But what happened to believe women, listen to women, hear them out, have an investigation? Why are we passing judgment before there was an actual investigation? That was the problem with what they did to Al Franken, right? Had they done as he asked and had an ethics committee investigation, Al Franken would have been cleared, I believe. He would have been cleared, and he'd still be in the Senate. But, you know, Joe Biden's got some crap in his background. Anyway, I do want to share with you this email that I got from Mona. Mona's in New York, and she wrote, Nicole, I don't know if you saw this tweet excerpt below from Patrick S. Tomlinson, sci-fi author, regarding Tara Reid's claim and her father's 1993 book. And so she sent a link to Tomlinson's thread. But in this tweet, this author wrote, quote, either Biden's accuser plagiarized this month's account of her 1993 sexual assault from her own father's book published in 1998, or her father needs to be up for both the Bad Sex in Fiction and the Worst Parent of the Year awards. This tweet was sent on April 30th. And here's the excerpt in the an excerpt in the tweet. It says, from the book, allegedly from the book. Street next door to the Russian striptease joint. As soon as he closed and locked the door, he put his hands up her skirt, grabbed her buttocks, slid his hands under her panties, spread her cheeks and rammed his fingers into her. In spite of her fear, she eventually responded, and they coupled on the rickety bed, jolting it until its metal legs nearly gave away. That's almost the exact verbiage of her description of the assault that Joe Biden allegedly perpetrated on her. Mona's email continued. She writes, sound very familiar, a coincidence? Did her father write about her rape? As a rape survivor, I can recall most details, but not the exact date. I understand most vivid memories are of the attack itself, as in my case. I admit I was having a hard time with Tara Reid's credibility before Tomlinson's tweet. It's terribly disturbing if it's not true as well. And then she said, I found the book. It's called Loss, Love Story by Bob Moulton, published in 1998 on Amazon, currently out of stock. She said, I'm sorry I couldn't verify the excerpt before emailing, but she sent a link to the book. So, you know what? That's disturbing, and that does cast doubts. I still think, have the investigation. If Joe Biden's got nothing to hide, then why is he waiting? Why is he saying that, no, you can search through the National Archives records for anything having to do with her name, but as for my trove of documents that was donated to the University of Delaware, that's off limits because it has my private papers and it could give my political opponents ammo. I mean, that's what he was saying. I don't want anything taken out of context. And then he went on to talk about, you know, conversations with Vladimir Putin. Excuse me? That's not okay. So, I still think she deserves her proverbial day in court. I'm not saying, no, they need to have a court hearing. I'm saying there needs to be an investigation. I'm glad Joe Biden finally addressed it on Friday. But again, I think there were some problems with his answers. And he needs to, in my opinion, say, have at it. Pick your committee, let them go through the archives at the National Archives and at the University of Delaware. Go through my papers. They've had them for a few years already. They were supposed to be released publicly after Joe Biden was out of elected office for 2 years. Well, he's been out of elected office for almost four now. So they're changing it because now he's trying to re-enter elected office. But technically, those documents are all ready to be released to the public based on the original agreement when they were donated. So they've already, somebody mentioned the other day, well, they're not digital. They're in boxes. Well, they've been spending over 3 years now, I would guess, archiving them. They could, as Mika Brzezinski suggested on Friday, do a search for Tara Reid's name. If there's nothing there, there's nothing there. And she's even said that in her original complaint 27 years ago, she didn't allege assault. She just alleged harassment or behavior that made her feel uncomfortable. Meanwhile, Anita Hill is speaking up. You know, this is something that we haven't been talking about, but Joe Biden's past is troubling. And if you think back, you know, it's got to be on YouTube. Look at Anita Hill's testimony in the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings for his Supreme Court nomination. Joe Biden was horrible to her. And Anita Hill basically said, I'll vote for him, whatever. But now Anita Hill is saying there needs to be a real investigation into the allegations levied against both Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Because despite whatever you might say about Joe Biden, Donald Trump is multiple times worse. He's got something like 24 credible assault or harassment, sexual assault or harassment claims against him. Now, his new mouthpiece, Kayleigh McEnany, said, and this was really funny, said in her first White House press briefing, well, that was litigated 4 years ago, and the American people found that Donald Trump doesn't lie, and they elected him nonetheless. That's not exactly what happened, but listen to how she lies.
So the president has in the past denied any of the allegations from the many women who have accused him of sexual misconduct. But for that podcast today, you seem to suggest the allegations that Tara Reid has raised are more, what do we say, credible than the ones against Brett Kavanaugh. What about the allegations that were raised against him, however? Why should the public, or what makes them any less credible than the allegations from Tara Reid?
What makes them less credible?
The president has swiftly denied all of these allegations that were raised 4 years ago. He has always told the truth on these issues. He's denied them immediately. And you're bringing up issues, like I said, from 4 years ago that were asked and answered. And the American people had their say in the matter when they elected President Trump as president of the United States. But, you know, the media, leave it to the media to really take an issue about the former vice president and turn it on the president and bring up accusations from 4 years ago that were asked and answered in the form of the vote of the American people.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yes. Delusional. She is, but you knew that. So this is, you know, this is what we're dealing with. Okay, if you're wondering, where's Trump? Just so you know, I just got an email and it said, please call at 3:40. It said, I might be ready at 3:30, but just to be safe, can you make it 3:40? Okay. All right. So while we're waiting, let me play another funny for you. I've shared, just because I don't want to open a can of worms, I could play you the hate phone message I got. You know what? Let me do that because this is funny too. All right. So Friday, you know, look, am I full-throated? Am I defending Tara Reid? No. I'm just saying when a woman makes a serious allegation, she deserves to be heard. And the way, for instance, that Stacey Abrams said, I believe Joe and the New York Times did a thorough investigation and they found no truth. That's a lie. And that was a talking point put out by the Biden campaign to which the New York Times responded and said, don't do that. We carried out our investigation, made no conclusions one way or another. Do not mischaracterize what we said. And they're calling for an investigation. The Washington Post editorial board is calling for an investigation. If she's wrong, if as so many of you believe and want to smear an alleged victim, you know, that's your right. I say, let's check out the story. So, but I'm telling you, some people had such a visceral, horrible reaction. Listen to this message that came in on my voicemail. This was Friday during the show. It was one call that I couldn't get to, and my phone recorded it. So here's the message. I think it'll play. Come on.
Please.
Here we go.
And I mean this wholeheartedly. I'm 60, I'm white, college educated, a father straight, for whatever that means to for you, but Nicole Sandler is the single most disgusting, nasty-ass, slut, dirty, disgraceful, fucking cunthole, shit-wise.
Wow.
A disgrace. I'm a father of two daughters.
Okay.
You make me more disgusted than Jeb Brewer of Arizona or Sarah Palin or Michelle Bachman.
Okay.
You are just a disgusting waste of big, fat, slutty, foul mouth. Not, you say foul mouth.
So, yeah.
Not foul mouth.
Wow. It goes. Yes. It goes for another minute or so. I'm not gonna do that. But what this brain surgeon didn't know is that this particular program that I use happens to be Skype, actually, has caller ID. So we have his phone number. So you know, while I'm waiting to call Donald Trump, may as well call this guy. Now he's probably listening, so he's not going to pick up, but we'll find out.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Pat?
Who's this?
Hey, Pat, this is Nicole Sandler calling. Got your message. Thought it was really nice.
Yeah.
You sound like a really nice guy. Just wanted to tell you to have a really nice day.
Oh, really, Nicole? Yeah. You want to elaborate?
No, I want to tell you to have a really nice day. You should know that something known as caller ID exists. So when you leave ugly, nasty, and threatening messages on someone's voicemail, they have a recording and have your phone number and can identify you as Pat Ward. Nice to meet you, Pat. I'll be sending your message to the appropriate authorities. Bye. All right. So there was Pat Ward. All right. How about... let's call Donald Trump, shall we? You know what? I still got 3 minutes. Let's do a funny, because after that, we need a palate cleanser. All right. So the founder Sting, who we featured their work before, they have a brand new one out. It's like less than an hour old. So we're cutting edge here, if not nothing else. So take it away, founder Sting. Here we go. When the Mitch gets sacked.
Eat cake with your shipping heiress wife. Suck some donors on a Saturday night. Killing hellcat, don't bother you. Flying high like a vulture while the rest get screwed. Moscow Mitch, all the Mitch gets sacked. Trashed out, said it, now we're taking it back.
Mitch gets sacked. Hopefully that'll come soon. Founder Singh is who put that video out. The Mitch gets sacked. And I'll post that video on the blog today as well at NicoleSandler.com/5-4-20. All right. My clock says it is 3:41. So I follow directions. So let's try calling Donald Trump. That's when he said to call. Let's do it. All right. It's a ringing. Here we go. Where's my Trump graphic? Here we go. Let's see.
Hello?
Hi, Mr. Trump?
This is JL.
Oh, Mr. President?
Oh, was I supposed to answer as him?
Yes, it's Nicole Sandler calling for Donald Trump. I guess I blew it right from the start. Is the president available? He's expecting my phone call right now.
Oh, yeah, okay, hold on for 1 second.
Okay,
me get him.
Thank you. So, this is, the number I had to call for Donald Trump.
Hello, who are we talking to? Is this some woman who wants to speak to the president?
Yeah, I'm the one who called you the other day. Remember, I was a radio producer back in the 80s in New York, and I had your phone number in my book, and I called it, and you answered. You still have that same Android phone that they told you not to use anymore?
Well, I don't remember our call, but I'm not calling you a liar, but, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I know that I still use my great phone because, they always, the security people, okay, they want to always have great control. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, I'm under complete control. I have, better security than even, our national intelligence people. So, my phone is very secure. I never leave it anywhere. It's always in my pocket, so I'll never lose it, so it's very secure.
So who answered it?
I think they call him a comedian, but he's not been very successful, if we can be honest. He's out of the room, so I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of doing almost personal assistant. I think they call it a body man.
Oh.
He does the personal stuff. So I wanted a body woman, a James Bond type thing. I wanted sexy women to do it, but then they said that might not look good, so I got this failed comedian helping me.
Gotcha.
So we'll see what happens.
So he replaced Keith Schiller, huh?
Who?
Keith Schiller, your old body man, your bodyguard, the thug that you used to have with you? He's gone now.
There's a lot of people working for me, so I lose track of it. But that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
So Heath was good guy.
Trump, I hope you don't mind that I don't call you Mr. President. I just can't put those things together. And in fact, come on, you have to admit that when the election returns came in on November 8th, 2016, you were shocked, right? You didn't expect to win, right?
No, I'll be honest. I expected to win, but I was surprised because, I'm often, very right. My predictions are usually very strong. Mm-hmm. And they told me it was going to be a close victory, and I believed them. I thought, it's going to be a very close win over crooked Hillary. And then all of a sudden, I see that I won a huge victory. I won all these states they didn't think I could win. And so I was wrong. I didn't realize how great that I was. I underestimated how strong I was as a candidate. So, people say, Trump, you never admit when you're wrong. Well, this is me on kind of an exclusive for your show.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm admitting that I was wrong. I was actually better than I thought.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, let me ask you a couple of other questions. But now that I've got you on the phone, I've been building this list for 3 years now. Where are your tax returns? You said they were under audit and that you'd release them as soon as the audits were finished. So why haven't you released any of your tax returns yet?
Well, they're still under audit. Audit is a building that I built in Europe, and I buried them under the building, which is called Trump's Audit.
Mm.
So the forms are under there. So technically, they're still under audit. So unless the building all of a sudden collapses, they're under audit. So, I never lied about that, okay?
Mm.
It was total truth, total, complete truth.
Okay, so because the building hasn't collapsed.
Well, if they destroy the building, they're under there's people living in the building. You can't just destroy the building. So the tax forms are under the building, Trump's Audit. That's what we called it. It's a nice name. And they're under there. So I don't think you can kick people out of their homes just to get some paperwork.
Okay, but Trump's Audit, the building, there's no provision for that in American law. I mean, the American people want to see your tax returns. In fact, maybe you don't have to. May 12th is coming up in just, 12 days and or 10 days, or my math is bad. But May 12th is coming up. It's in like a week and a half. And the Supreme Court is going to hear the case about your taxes. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I can tell you right now that I think we have strong justices, strong, independent sort of justices who look at the Constitution. And I think I love the Constitution. It's a very strong, it's like a very old and strong document, okay? It's important. Mm-hmm. Nothing more important to this country other than me than the Constitution. And I think we have great people. I think Brett Kavanaugh remembers how strongly I stood by him.
Really?
During his confirmation, uh-huh. So I think he's going to be a strong vote for Trump, and I think we're going to. I think we might even get some of the like non-Trump, non-great judges to also agree with us. Maybe like a, like a Sotomayor. Maybe she's going to be pro-Trump.
That's a good thing. You think? Let's talk about the pandemic for a moment. First of all, why did you block Dr. Fauci from testifying before the House Appropriations Committee hearing this week on the COVID-19 response?
Well, I want him to be more focused on important things, like as we look for vaccines and we look to advise the people. I thought going in front of nasty Dems, okay, who are not there to help the country, they're there to tear down Trump, it would be not productive. It would be like a waste of his time, and it would be a terrible thing for the country.
Really?
Like a very bad, like, I care so much about this country, okay? Probably more than you. I'm pretty sure more than you do. And I don't want to see it torn apart by angry Dems who aren't looking for a vaccine, aren't looking to help
the
country.
They're not.
Want to distract Fauci and insult me, and it's not good. It's not a good thing.
Right? Okay. So, but you keep saying the Democrats. Now, I thought the president of the United States is elected to be president for all the people, but you're constantly drawing these lines in the sand. Like, if it's a Democrat, then they're evil. Or if it's a judge or an administration official who was put into their position by a Democrat, you say that they're worthless, that you have no place for them. Are you saying that anybody who was appointed into government service by Barack Obama or Bill Clinton before that they are not to be trusted? Is that what you're telling us?
No. That's like half fake news. I am not saying that just the people appointed by Obama and Clinton, who were both terrible presidents, that they're obviously biased. But to show that it's bipartisan, that I'm not about party, some of the Bush people are also anti-Trump. So it's not about Republican or Democrat. It's like you find anti-Trump, which really means anti-America.
No, it really doesn't, sir.
It really does, because I run the country. I'm the leader during this crisis. And if the people, this is not funny. This is very, very sad for our country.
It is. We agree on that. It is very
sad. You have
both
Republicans and Democrats who are anti-Trump. They may be more Democrats, but there's some Republicans too, like.
So you're
Bush.
Saying that nobody can disagree with you? That everybody has to like toe the Trump line?
It's a free country, okay? It's called freedom of speech. You're familiar? You know this?
Oh, well, I do. I know it well.
Great freedoms, yeah. Okay? Yes. Better freedoms than like any other country. But the fact is, I can disagree, and I think you're allowed to disagree with Trump. It makes you stupid. It makes you like a bad American. But you're but it's okay.
Okay.
You're allowed.
All
it's called allowance.
Oh,
right,
I see.
Constitution. But it still doesn't mean you're right. You're allowed to be wrong.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that all of a sudden, because you're allowed to do it, that you're right. And Trump is not just right wing, but very right. In other words, meaning correct.
All right. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Ivanka. What's the deal with Ivanka? I mean, when she was like little, you said, if she wasn't my daughter, I would date her. It seems like you really want to date her. What's happening with you and your daughter?
See, to me, okay, Ivanka is a very smart, very talented, very beautiful woman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a fact. Just because I'm a father, I don't have to, like, deny that she's, kind of a catch. As somebody might say, a catch. But I think the greatest compliment a man can give, and everybody always wants to turn this into something else, a great compliment showing great objectivity. Okay, it's called being objective. Mm. If she wasn't my daughter, what would I think of her? I would think, get out of here, Melania. There's a new, younger, better, more talented, beautiful wife. Uh-huh. And that's a great compliment. Obviously, that's not what we do because she's my daughter. So I love her as a very hot, sensual, talented daughter. But I don't, you don't cross lines, of course. But no. If she wasn't my daughter, I can say that she would be exactly who I would be looking for.
Okay. Now, then what about Jared? I get, you know, she's your daughter. You have this weird thing with her. But Jared, what, Jared Kushner, why do you make him in charge of everything?
Well, this is kind of exclusive. I guess we can break news okay. for your program.
Thank you.
Jared Kushner, we got together, you know, we got them together. It was almost like a Game of Thrones thing, but like for real estate. He was sort of the prince of this other very big real estate family.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, wouldn't this be great to join the kind of legacies, okay? So, but I never really, I mean, I didn't like him. He's very weak. You see how he's very tall and skinny and like has no energy?
Right.
It's like somebody took Jeb Bush and drained 50 pounds from him and made him into Jared Kushner. It's like low energy Jared. Mm,
I see.
But I decided, I want them to get divorced, okay? I think Ivanka could do much better than Jared Kushner. So what I did was, and this is kind of the great political mind that I have, I put Jared in charge of things that he has no business being in charge of. He can't do these things that I'm telling him to do, but he's failing. And the more he fails, the more Ivanka will say, I want somebody like my dad, oh. who's always succeeding. I'm married to a like weak, skinny failure. So it's like an advanced sort of move. It's we're playing like, you know, like more like it's like advanced checkers. Okay?
So
we're doing like advanced checkers.
Okay, so you'll put him in there just to prove to your daughter that he's not good enough for her. Screw the rest of the country. Screw everything else. You know, you put him in charge of Middle East peace, for God's sakes. And now the pandemic. So you want him to fail? So she dumps him?
So you use such nasty, like, anti-American phrases. You said, screw the country.
Right.
And then you say Middle East peace. We're not in the Middle East, okay? I don't know if you know this. We're in North America, which is named after America, which is us, okay? The Middle East can do their own thing.
Mm.
And it's all about, if I tell Ivanka, and you're a woman, I'm sure maybe you have this in you, when your parents tell you, especially your father, like very stern and says, you can't do this, and then you want to do it. So if I tell Ivanka, you got to get divorced from Jared, she's going to like go back to him stronger. So I have to like get her on her own to think that he's a very weak husband and person. And it's working, by the way. He's doing terribly.
Yeah, he is.
So we agree. See, this is the thing. We're in complete agreement. I know you have to be like, you sound like a Trump hater, like a Trump derangement syndrome, but we're in total agreement.
Mm-hmm. One last question for you. Yesterday was World Press Freedom Day, and you chose to mark the occasion with a bunch of angry tweets about fake news and doubling down on calling the press the enemy of the people. Do you know where that term came from? Do you know where it's been used before?
Well, in my tweets.
No, before.
Tweets,
before you started before. Using it. Do you know who used
well,
it before
me,
you
I
did?
Didn't, if you, this isn't, I did not plagiarize, okay? If it happened before, it's coincidental. I'm a very, like, original thinker, okay? So it's a very, you know what, if somebody else used it in the past, I don't associate with them. I'm using it very strongly right now for our great America and the press being so nasty and fake.
Yeah. All right. Hey, you know, I just came across this video, and I think this is the guy you were talking about before. Mr. Trump, let me just share this with you. It's a video I found on YouTube, and it's a guy... a comedian, and this might be your new body man. This video was just posted to YouTube, so let me play it, and I want to get your thoughts on it.
So today is probably the greatest announcement your president has ever had. That's why I'm wearing the white hat. I even bleached it, because I wanted extra white. White hat means good things. Red hat means on the MAGA rag, and we don't like that.
Oh.
So there's a failed comedian, a very bad comedian, okay, named J.L. Who even cares what his name is? He has an album where he's claiming to do, like, a great impression of me. And I'm like, it's not even close to what I sound like. He's a failed comedian. He's had no agent, no manager, no public relations. Like, the only thing that's even gotten him any kind of sort of fame, if you want to call it that, is like people on Twitter going crazy, you know, probably a lot of Dems. And the occasional sort of celebrity, like somebody I wouldn't even have on Celebrity Apprentice, like Richard Marx, okay? So that's all he's got. And now he's coming out with an album that's on iTunes, which is, of course, run by Tim Apple, who took over for Steve MacBook. Remember him? He passed away. Rest in peace. But he's a failed comedian. He does one of the worst impressions I've ever heard. We don't like him. We don't want to hear any of his albums. And the worst is that his birthday is April 24th. Pathetic. So he's got like an album on Apple Tunes for pre-order right now, available everywhere on May 1st. So definitely don't purchase it at those places either. But he's going to be like desperate saying, oh, please pre-order my great album as the president. You know, help it go number one. And it's not going to know. I'm releasing an album also on the same day, so his won't go number one. So it'll be beautiful to see him upset. But he's just a guy who thinks he's funny, thinks he does the president, does a terrible job. So just to prove it, in the link, in the comment, in the thread, they call it the thread, right under this video is going to be the link to get Fireside Crap's The Deuce, which is like his take on, I guess, the 3 years of my presidency. It's going to fail. Unlike my presidency, his album should do poorly. So whatever you do, don't click, don't pre-order, don't share with any celebrities or any famous people who like his terrible impression, and we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. That would be J.L. Coven. Hello, J.L.
Oh, hi. Hello, I'm back.
You are
hey,
back.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. This was too much fun. I could have gone on for a lot longer.
Yeah, no, it's. I don't know if I can. I feel like it's starting to corrupt my soul a little bit.
I'll bet. I don't know how you do it, because you have to get into that character. So, did you always do Trump, or is this something new for you?
No, I've been. It's funny. I thought, of course, the impression was superb in 2016. I started doing it around the time that he started running, like when he announced in 2015, and I always thought it was pretty good. But then it just got better and better and better, and the more he was on TV. And then now it's at, you know, I listen back to things like 3 or 4 years ago that I thought were awesome, and I'm like, that's good. But now it's at its sort of peak. So I got very lucky with, you know, some tweets going viral. And, you know, it's nice. Now people are seeing a lot of my material and a lot of my stuff, so it's really... It sort of resurrected my comedy career.
Oh, that's great. Well, J.L. Coven, C-A-U-V-I-N is his name. His website is jlcoven.com. Of course, he's on Twitter and Facebook and certainly YouTube, which is where I found you, because I've been playing these funny, you know, song parodies dealing with COVID and stuff while we're all shut in. But I came across your videos and you just crack me up. You've got the timbre of your voice is just right. And you've got the inflections and the pacing and everything so spot on. So,
oh, thank you.
And you're such a good sport, because I asked you if you would mind coming on in character and letting me interview you, and you're just brilliant. And so I have a lot of people.
I'm sorry that I answered the phone. I sort of forgotten whether I was supposed to answer. And I'm also always nervous when I see a phone call. I go, do I just answer this as Trump? What if it's like a bill collector?
No worries at all. My show is, you know, this is my show. I'm very informal, sure. And, you know, it's typical. But a lot of people, like on Facebook, I got to say, it inflated my ego a bit that people would think I'd actually have access to get the president, even if it is Donald Trump, on the show. I don't have that much clout. So the video I played talked about this new album. So it's just been out 3 days?
Yes. Yeah, it's... It was at number one on Amazon and iTunes for 3.5 days. It's at number two right now, so I guess it's dipped a little, the big push of purchases early. But it's called Fireside Crap's The Deuce. And it's basically like a real-time recap of Trump's presidency.
Oh, boy.
From Charlottesville to COVID, where he's giving updates. But it's a really slickly produced album. Like, I'm super proud of it, and it's been obviously selling really well. So if people... My whole pitch is very simple, because the album was in the works since January, so it's just great luck that I blew up, because it was coming out either way. It wasn't like this was some sort of hastily put together money grab.
Mm-hmm.
This was something months in the works, and I just had great luck going viral. But it's if you like my impression, the album is really, really funny, because the impression videos are basically ad-libs, but this was like a planned, deeply sort of produced project. So it's like, if you like what I do on Twitter, there's no way you won't love the album.
Wow. And I got to say, you know, I even offered when we communicated by email, and I said, asked if you would mind doing this interview thing. And I said, I'm happy to, you know, I'm a good straight person. I'm happy to either furnish you with questions ahead of time, or you can send me questions you want me to ask. And you said, no, that's all right. We'll wing it. And so that was just so much fun. It was just
Yeah, people sometimes get nervous, like, and it's not even like a brag. I've been doing a podcast for 2 years as Trump called Making Podcasts Great Again. So, like, once a week, I'm basically, my co-host brings up different issues of the week, whether they be pop culture, political, or whatever, and I riff as Trump for 30 or 40 minutes every week. So, like, at this point, it's very easy to sort of get in. There's nothing somebody could ask me that I can't do, because he's sort of a limited person, and you just have to be able to work very flexibably in that space.
Right.
And I can, I guess.
Well, that's awesome. J.L. Coven, you're awesome. There are silver linings to every disaster. So you're one of the silver linings to the COVID quarantine, because I found your comedy. JLCoven.com is the website. On Twitter, on Facebook, I'll put links to all of it on my blog at NicoleSandler.com. Thank you so much. And hopefully when this all clears, you go on tour and we'll meet. I'm in South Florida.
Oh, great. Yeah, no, I'm definitely hoping that this renaissance for me continues, and that I end up, you know, really getting to do a lot of club work and travel and stuff.
So, absolutely.
So, in the words of our president, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. J.L. Coven, thank you for playing with us today. It was great fun for me, and you made my Monday.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. You take care. We'll talk soon.
Great.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks. All right. So there's your Donald Trump interview, such as it was. He's just so talented. And again, that is my sort of silver lining to this whole disaster, is I'm discovering all these very talented people and connecting with people all, you know, the quarantine calling. Just so you know, yesterday I connected with a woman in Kazakhstan. I told you yesterday was my daughter's 21st birthday, and I adopted her from Kazakhstan. So later on this week, we'll share that quarantine calling segment. Just trying to make, you know, lemonade out of the lemons that this life has given us. All right. Yes. Yeah, so JL's podcast is called Making Podcasting Great Again. I see Diane Russell in the chat room put a link to it there. So I'll find that and I'll put it on the blog as well. Thank you to JL. Thank you to you. Sorry, I didn't mean to lie. I just thought we'd have some good natured fun today. And tomorrow we'll be back. Go ahead and find. I understand Pat Ward, my lovely caller from Friday, is on Facebook. So go find him and make friends. All right. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Gotta Laugh will be here. And we'll get through another day in quarantine. Thank you for listening, everyone. Until tomorrow, hit the like button. Donate if you can. Tell a friend about the show. And I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks again, everyone. Bye.